Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. It's me, Rangers, Jackie Cation. You're familiar with my work. You're right in the middle of it right here. Today's guest, he's been on before. He's got more to talk about. I like him. That's why I keep having him on the show. Mike Kaplan, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I like you. I like the show. I like me. I like, I'm like, oh God, I gotta get new hobbies. I gotta find new things to talk about. Come back on Jackie's show.
And then Kaplan. LAN and it's everywhere. And that was probably new album as well.
Yes, there will also, I hate to do this. I don't know if it's a me thing or a you thing, but some of your vocals cut in and out when you, for me,
well, it's
when
probably
you just
the
said
fact
those
that
things.
I'm in a
hotel type situation. Got it. Well, you sound great now, and I just want to make sure it seems like it's recording on your end. I just, you know, every once in a while, I hit a thing on my thing, and it records the other person and not me. And I'm like, I just got to try to, like, Mad
Maybe
Libs.
Maybe you'll have to guess what I've said and respond to that.
So far, I did a pretty good job. Yeah.
Yeah, you've nailed it so far. So talk to me about the, what is, new special, November 19th.
Yes.
November 19th? Okay.
Yes.
Will there also be an album?
Yes, I believe. So November, I filmed last year, and the process has been a wonderful lengthy journey. It will be on the Blonde Medicine, that's the production company, on their YouTube channel.
Oh.
You know those folks?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm doing mine with them. I'm filming mine on November 8th. Here's what's making me sad. It's going to take that long for me to get
There were some external, other things out of
we can't
our
know.
Control.
We can't
yeah.
know.
No,
right.
I don't know, but it shouldn't have to be. Don't be sad. Yours will come out when mine comes out. We'll just do a 11 day turnover.
It's later. It'll also come out.
Yes.
What's the album? Did it already come out?
No, the album will, I think, follow by a month. I think it'll be like a month later. So it'll be on, you know, video, be like, everyone watch it. It'll be on YouTube. You can watch it. You can send money if you want to, but you don't have to. But you can watch it, and as many, just leave it on repeat. That'll help a lot. But yeah, then the album version will come out, I believe, in, you know, December sometime, a month or so later. And the show is called Rini, named for my girlfriend Rini, who you know. And
right.
With whom I co-created the show, and it's basically about our relationship. So,
cool.
Yeah, we've been together now about it'll coming up on 9.5 years. And so next year it'll be 10. And then in 10 years, it'll be 20.
Right. That's how numbers work. Good work.
That's sometimes my mom will say things like, wow, it's September already. And that means that October's around the corner. And then it's all, can you believe it? It's Thanksgiving, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
I can totally believe it. That's how it goes.
But yeah, so we started, you know, I put out my last like full album, you know, that I did all like worked on for years and things. It came out, recorded in 2019, came out in 2020. And since then, at least, or probably a little bit before, this hour has been in the works with a pandemic in the middle. And we brought it to the Edinburgh Fringe Fest in 2023. And then, yeah, filmed it in 2024. So it's a lot has gone into it and really excited about it. I've only had one other hour special, like video wise, in my career. I've done a few half hours and many hour long audio only, which I'm, you know, I love putting out an audio album. But this one was the topic, the material, the show is special. And so I'm excited for it to be my first special in over 10 years. That is an hour.
That's amazing. That is very cool. And then you also do the stand-up comedy. So is it mikekaplan.com, M-Y-Q, Kaplan.com?
That's the one.
And that'll have your full tour dates on it, right?
It will 100%, including such dates as, for example, October 18th, 2025, the Arden Guild Hall in Delaware, a show that I know you've done. I opened for Emo Phillips there last year. I'm headlining it this October. It's a really cool place. So, you know, whenever you're listening to this, get driving.
It's in the woods.
Yeah.
There, the Blue Ghost Theater, sort of NPR, PBS, kind of nice. They look like there's a lot of sweaters. It is a beautiful. The next thought out of my mind when I saw the audience at the Arden Guild Hall, you know who'd do really well here? Before I went, Eisenberg should do this show. And I believe she did. I believe she's done that. But they do it like, I think, once a year, right? Does that sound right?
I believe they do have a spring show and a fall show. So they have
two
opportunities per year. Yeah.
And so if you're in Delaware, there's not a lot. It's interesting. There's not a lot of interesting comedy. There's a lot of very basic comedy. Sometimes interesting and sometimes not, is what I'm saying. This is a unique experience, the Arden. I liked it. I've recommended so many people to do it. And Mike's doing it. So you should go see it when Mike is there, which is October 18th, if I remember correctly.
Thank you. You nailed it.
Nailed it. Your dorkdom at this time, what you wanted to talk about was, which I think is interesting, is inspirational quotes. What draws you to inspirational quotes besides the fact that you are such a word nerd that I love it?
You know, I truly don't know. I can't remember a time when I wasn't a quote collector. I will tell you, you know, in preparation for this, I have in my Gmail the filing system that Gmail offers of archiving things in certain folders.
Right.
I have a folder or a label that is quotes. So whenever I, you know, come across one, I will sometimes, you know, email it to myself, or sometimes I'm now on an assortment of lists. I use the meditation app Waking Up, and every day they send a quote, and usually I just label that with the quote. And so I don't know if you like guessing games or if you just want me to tell you how many items do I have. And here's the thing, when I say item, I mean individual emails, some of which have multiple quotes, but within here I'm going back to the beginning, since it looks like, let's see, oh yeah, I can move that, since this is only since 2017 that I've been actively
seven
like,
years yeah. Let's do 365 days a year, so I'm going to round up 2,100.
It's 15. It's 1512. So they didn't always have the quota day for that whole time. But let's see. The very first one in each one will be. I'll go back and get an exact number for later. But the very first one is from my grandmother, who died in 2020. But this is in 2017. She would always write on my my Facebook jokes that I post, and I don't even know what it was that she was responding to here, but she said, "Send me any advice that you have that you are not using." So
wow, that should be its own folder.
Yeah. It's also in the Iris Blumenau folder as well. I like that you can cross pollinate folders here. But
that's great.
And then let's see, later that, then it leaps a couple of years, but, so I might not have even started doing this until 2020, but, I shared a quote with a friend. I don't know where I heard it, but it's, "Be careful who or what you hate, as it could be someone you love."
Oh, interesting. Now here's the philosophy where it all sort of, you're just like, huh, I don't, you know, there's, I said, I often get a quote. Not every day, but some people will, there's poetry. Sometimes there's poetry. And somebody just quoted a, let me see if I can find it. This is going to be a dueling, dueling quotes, you guys. And it was, "Do you know a poem by a woman by the name of Portia Nelson?" "There's a hole in my sidewalk."
Oh, I don't think I do know that.
"There's a hole in my sidewalk. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. I walk down another street." Portia Nelson.
Do you know what that one reminds me of? And here's the thing. I think this is not exactly the same thing, but there are, you know, the same way that I have like an encyclopedic, you know, not complete, but a Rolodex in my mind of jokes that I love, you know, like often one liners or just like really powerful jokes that I feel like that a quote, a poem, a joke, a Zen koan, you know, all serve kind of the same role in life of, you know, sparking something in us and like jostling us. And sometimes it helps us live the way that we want to live or make us forget, you know, a momentary difficulty, or, you know, be inspirational. This is one I wish I know. You know, a lot of comedians. Tell me if you've ever heard this joke. I don't know who it is because here's a weird thing. Like, I guess it's always the same. Like today it's memes. You can see a meme and you're like, oh, I wonder who created that. No idea. They probably took off there maybe somebody's name was on it and they chopped it off. But this from 20 years ago, I purchased in like a gas station a cassette tape that was like jokes about driving, just a compilation of stand-up comedy jokes. Like I remember there was a Seinfeld one, which I recognized, and maybe the liner notes had the comedians listed, but I, while listening to it, didn't know to apply, you know, that desire that to connect that. So I don't know whose joke this is, but it's been really, I've thought about it a lot. So it's a guy's like, "I was driving and I saw a sign that said bump ahead. And then I kept driving. And then I saw a sign that said bump. And then there was a bump. And I was like, if you know where it is, why don't you fix it?"
So
that I shared that with Rini, the aforementioned.
Yes.
And years ago, we were watching another comedian whose name is not important. It could be any comedian. They were talking generally on stage about being bad with women. And the way they were bad with them is they would like get into a situation with them. And then when they started liking them too much, they would find themselves, you know, I got to get out of here. But instead of being honest and forthright, they would do something to make the other person break up with them.
Right.
And then we saw that comedian and Rini turns to me and says, if you know where it is, why don't you fix it? And
yes.
So that has become like a shorthand, like in our, I don't know if you've heard the term familect, which is like a family dialect. So,
oh no.
Things like every perhaps family or friend group might have, you know, either it could be inside jokes or references that because you know each other and you've now like in our family, for example, I guess maybe familex could be a whole other, but it's related. It's related. A dorkdom. But like in our family, there is a so I'm a vegan person and there is this vegan gluten-free lasagna that Amy's, the company, makes that I think is delicious. You know, even more so when you're like vegan, gluten-free lasagna, doesn't that take away two of the three things that makes a lasagna, but it's, I just love, you know, a sponge full of tomato sauce, you know, but, it's so good. And every time I eat it, I'm like, this tastes so good. And sometimes I'll say out loud, this tastes so good. And I'll say it to Rini and she'll be like, I'm so happy. And so the idea in our family, when something that's always good, like, you know, a particular experience or a relationship, you know, we get off the phone with a particular friend. We're like, how was it? We're like, it was lasagna. So lasagna is part of our familect. And so is that if you know where the bump is, why don't you fix it?
Right. And my family recently, it has been added to the dialect, the familect is, that sounds like a problem that, how does it, it's exact. I forget exactly how it goes. It's like, that sounds like something. Oh, we need Lumpy and Dominic. Is the point is Lumpy and Dominic. And sounds like this sounds like something that Lumpy and Dominic need. We need Lumpy and Dominic. Lumpy and Dominic were the two guys that kidnapped my brother Phil to from the Moonies so that he could be deprogrammed.
Wow.
And in 1976. So the fact that anything should be solved by Lumpy and Dominic.
My goodness. So it's like a difficult problem. Like you need a deus ex machina is your Lumpy and Dominic.
Like if someone's unwilling to fix something, it looks like a job. It looks like a job for Lumpy and Dominic. That's it.
Yeah.
And so a job. There's no reason why. Yes, I would like to introduce Lumpy and Dominic to any number of problems. Anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely. No, that also reminds me, are you familiar with Click and Clack, the Tappet brothers of Car Talk, the NPR show?
Yeah.
I don't think they're still doing their thing.
They're in their early 80s. They're done.
Yeah. Well, Click and or Clack, thank you for your service. but a fun thing that I do in my friendship with this is a newer one, but I do it when I can, is anytime there's a possibility to go this or that, then just add the Tappet brothers, you know,
that's even funny.
Could be Lumpy and Dominic, the Tappet brothers, and then continue on with your with your day.
Right. The thing about stand up comedy in our lives is that we're so interested in wordplay in. But then also, if you do any sort of internal work where you're trying to become sane, right? Like you would like a little peace of mind and serenity in your life. You have to sort of learn how to, if you're not just overtly saying the same prayer over and over and over again, you have to find other things to meditate to or other things to sit in. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the thing that you just said, I'm excited to tell you about the experience I had. Like, number one, I agree with you. Everything that you said, out loud on the surface. I co-sign. And also, I misheard a thing that you said briefly in a way that made a fun thing happen. You said, you know, as comedians, we traffic in wordplay, for example. But when you said in wordplay, the in and the word were so close together, I thought you were saying in word play. And then you started talking about doing, you know, the internal sane making that we also must do. And I'm like, yes, we must do inward play. We must believe in wordplay and inward play. As like, that's, it's happening. Like the call is coming from inside the word, you know? But yeah, I think you also made me think about this, that like, there's a couple kinds of comedy. I have a joke I'm working on about how there are some comedians who say that they're truth tellers, and then there are other comedians who say that they're, quote, just joking. And, you know, just not to do the joke, this isn't the joke, but the truth that I think is there's no such thing as, quote, just joking. Every joke that you tell tells you something of the truth, even if you're doing a character, even if you're not telling the literal truth that you believe in. Like, the fact that saying a thing, one thing and not another thing, says something about who you are as a person, as a comedian. But even all that said, of course, you know, there's a couple kinds of comedy. There's many kinds of comedy, but some of the comedy is for potentially like a Brian Regan, like, you know, classic Brian Regan. Like you watch the news all day, all week, and you're like, I got to get out of here. And you go and you laugh, and he's not making you consider things outside or inside. You're just laughing and having a good, silly, fun, goofy time. And then for other times, you want to be like, I want to know what's going on out there in here. You want a Kamau Bell or a Maria Bamford or a Jackie Cation or, somebody who's really delving into like, you know, oh, you want to like, there's stuff going on. Let's talk about it. I want to talk about the stuff. And so equally valid, some comedy for joy's sake, for escape, comedy for, you know, social activism, for engagement, for personal growth and storytelling. And so I feel like and it's just important, I think, as for myself to know, like, what am I doing when? Like,
you doing? Where do you put yourself in that list of you sort of categorized, you put people together that aren't necessarily in the same, because everybody's doing such different, like, Brian Regan right now has a gun joke.
Didn't know.
Right. Well, I open for him sometimes. And when he does that gun joke, the audience will sort of like, wait a minute, we did come here to not talk about guns. Why are we talking about guns?
That's fascinating. Yeah, I love. Right. I mean, that's why I meant like ancient, like old Brian Regan didn't talk about guns. And also in his newest special.
But every
special,
time I see, and every time I see him, he usually has between 5 and 10 new minutes about courtesy. Because it is his political issue is that he would like people to be more polite. And he is also a bit of a rule follower. So
I love it. And in his, I think the most recent special of his that I watched, but I think is the most recent one that exists, the one that Red Rocks, I think, he has a chunk about his OCD, which I had never heard him talk about before. And I thought was moving and important and, you know, about something in a way that, you know, not that his old comedy was about, quote, nothing, but, you know, Seinfeld, famous for comedy about nothing. It's nothing. Like, just do it. Just have it be about the comedy, whatever you want. You know. meanwhile, that also brief
except,
a reminder.
Except if we were to die, I mean, and this is an actual non-Dork Forest thing that I usually do, which is not talk about comedy. But because we are discussing language and the use of words and inspirational is, and you just said that it doesn't matter what kind of comedy you do, you show yourself in it. If I've heard you correctly.
You have.
Yes. And so I don't care if you're wearing a hat. If you're being mean about dogs, you probably don't like dogs. Right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I don't think you're hiding from anyone that you're not that excited about dogs. So, and that is a very sort of just a very basic example of how that could be used. So whenever anybody does they're like, I'm doing a character, Dice Clay, whatever. You're like, yes, but the character you chose to be was a dick. And so I think inside of you, there might be a dick who feels the need to say these things. Like if you have a puppet, you're like, it's not me saying it, it's the puppet. Ventriloquism.
Oh,
you're saying
it. Yeah, I mean, and for sure, there are ways to, you know, how many comedians, like, I love Todd Barry, and so many of his jokes are a person says a foolish thing to him, and then he lays into them for being foolish in ways that are, you know, brilliant and hilarious.
Yes.
And I know who he is and what his perspective is. He's not secretly like, the guy who tried to sell me tomatoes is actually who I am, you know, like, so... So, like, there's no, you know, one rule governing all of this. But yeah, you can, you know, map it all out. What is the person saying? What are they not saying? And then what is the climate in which someone is
has
or is not
to,
saying it?
Yes. What did somebody say? I just saw some sort of post where it was someone talking about how they wanted to do a joke about, that was a comic about an amputee, and there was an amputee in the audience or something like that. And I have always been of the opinion of if you can't do a joke in front of the person or the group that you've written about, you know that that joke isn't good. You know that that's not right. Like I have mentioned people in wheelchairs and as topics and the blind as two examples of things that are happening. If there are blind people or people in wheelchairs in the audience, I feel the need to do those jokes if they are in my current set, just because if they're going to get mad at it, I have to know. I have to know why they're, what am I missing? Right.
Yes. 100%. And yeah, either the joke has to be funny enough and, or, you know, meaningful enough to you, you know, important enough, like not only, I feel like, you know, many people say this, Todd Glass is the one I think about, this particular comedy related quote, we're back on topic. He's like, you know, of course you can say whatever you want to say, but what do you want to say and why? And I think that's an important question to ask oneself as a comedian or as a human being in Brian Regan's polite society. But like, yeah, this is all to say, just to connect it all back. Like, I love jokes. I love when jokes are about something, you know, about mental health or about society or about, you know, helping. And I also love a joke. Like, I just heard a story today. I read a story in Austin Kleon's newsletter, and it was about Robert Redford, who recently died. And I'm sorry if I'm breaking the news to you, but
89 years old, not a career cut tragically short. Go ahead.
No, cut tragically long. No, it was a perfect length. Cut tragically
perfect
the
length.
Right length. Yes. And so Austin Kleon said that he learned a story from Mike Nichols, you know, who directed, among other things, The Graduate. And so this is Mike Nichols said, Robert Redford, he really wanted to play the lead in The Graduate. I said, you can't play it. You can never play a loser. And Redford said, what do you mean? Of course I can play a loser. And I said, have you ever struck out with a girl? And he said, what do you mean? And he wasn't joking, is what Mike Nichols said. And so that's a story that I think, I mean, it's funny, and that's why I shared it. But I shared it also as an example of, like, I don't know if there's any, like, greater, deeper, universal truth in that. Like, that truly didn't go in my quote file because I'm like, that's not a quote I need to remember. I put it in my, like, funny archive, and I'm like, oh, fun Robert Redford story. But there are jokes that do both. And then for the quotes that I get, so jokes can do wordplay or concept play or inward play or some combination. The quotes that I save are always doing some kind of inward play. Inward play is now part of our Familect.
That's right. Finally, we're family.
Yeah.
What is another one? What do you got?
You got it. I'll give you some of my top ones.
Yeah. I love that.
So there's have you heard of Suzuki Roshi or Shunryu Suzuki?
Maybe.
He is, you might have heard of him because he wrote like one of the most, like the seminal, like one of the original books on Buddhism for the West called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And I have a collection of like stories that his students told about him. And just one of my favorite quotes of his that I'm just getting the exact wording right now is, oh yes, he says, "Each of you is perfect the way you are, and you can use a little improvement."
Oh my God, that's very funny.
And it's funny and it's meaningful because, you know, where we are right now, we can't change the past. We are the way that we are because we were babies and our parents were the way that we were, and the world is and was. And like, you know, even if you think you could go back, we don't have the capacity to change anything. So right now, this is the best that we are because it's the best that we could be. And we're like, so in some ways, like there's another quote that I'll maybe drag up, but Ram Dass says something about a tree. He's like, if we look at a tree or a cloud, this is paraphrasing. Right. I'll see if I can get the actual one, but nobody ever looks at a tree or a cloud and is like, a little too asymmetrical. You know what I mean? We're like, right. Oh, that's beautiful. The way that it is, but we look at people and we're like, not symmetrical enough. We look at ourselves and we're like, look at my, there's that Brian Regan joke about the eye doctor that was like, hey, did you ever notice, you know, one of your eyes is just like a fourth of an inch lower than the other. And it's like, you know, if you wanted to think about that for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And yeah. So I think that we all, you know, of course, while we're alive, we can be growing and living and changing, and we always can be improving. We can be better. We're better now, hopefully, at living, at comedy, at, you know, relationships, at friendship, at whatever our project is. We're hopefully better now than we were a year ago, 10 years ago as a child, and we're not done. So we're going to get there.
Right. What I always think is when I'm done, I will, the next, like if I ever achieve this sort of peace or this sort of the peace and serenity that I would like to have and feel and sort of feel a sort of a perfect, I assume the next thing that happens is I slip on a banana peel and I move on to the next big adventure. Right.
Uh-huh.
So there's no not working, you know, but I will say this, and I don't, some of my favorite quotes are my own, of course. is that sometimes I feel like I just get tired of working on myself. And I feel like I'm banging my head against a door, and it might be the right door, but it doesn't mean my head doesn't hurt.
That's
right.
That's great. I love that. I mean, I also think there's a lot of, I've been reading some things by this guy named Rupert Spira recently. I'm reading a book right now called You Are the Happiness You Seek. And he talks about three different kinds of meditation. And like one of them, let's see, I'm super not far into the book, the kinds of meditations that there are. One of them is, can't get it. Doop, doop. Deep, doop, pretty good podcast. Doop, dop, deep, dop. but anyway, I forget what they exactly are, but one of them is about like trying to, you know, calm yourself, let's say, you know, like to have that. But the ultimate one is essentially like to recognize that where we are, who we are, what we are, like is, again, kind of perfect as is, like to accept, to try to do less, you know, to not constantly need to be working on anything specific. Because I mean, conventionally speaking, yes, there are frameworks in which, oh, if you want to get better at playing the guitar, then work at it. But also millions of people, billions of people don't play the guitar, and they are not they're not flawed, they're not fraudulent,
they're not
just
broken.
Because
yes,
no,
they just don't
like, it's
play the guitar.
it's like, here's a quote from me that I also like that I do pretty much exclusively on podcasts. it's relevant to this. So sometimes, you know, people are starting out in comedy and they're like, man, it's like there's so much stuff you got to do, right? You got to write, of course. You got to perform. Like you got to have social media. You got to be putting out clips, but not too many clips because you don't want to oversaturate. You want people to burn your material. You want to do, got to learn how to do crowd work. You got to learn how to host. You got to learn how to close. You got to try to get an agent, maybe a commercial agent, maybe a college booking agent, a cruise ship agent. You got to learn for different demographics. You got to get some acting skills. You got to take some improv classes. You got to get to this festival. You got to get this industry to see you. You got to get a Patreon. You got to have a web series. You got to do all of these things. And I'm like, hey, you know what? You don't even got to do comedy. Like, right. None of it's gotta.
Absolutely none of it. It, wow. I thought that it was going to go on maybe for the next 28 minutes that you were going to say all the things that have to do.
That'd have been pretty, you got to have a podcast. You got to, but you also previously reminded me, this would probably be a perfect one to end with, but I know, this is not the end, but
this should be the middle. This is a perfect one to middle with.
Unplanned pregnancy. Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
Go.
Oh, I love it. You got to learn how to middle. The Oscar Wilde quote that I think about the most is, everything will be fine in the end. If it's not fine, it's not the end.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
like
a great
that.
One. Yeah.
What
have you ever
I
heard of?
Often
yeah,
say
ahead.
To Maria Bamford is because she is not alone, but I will get a call from her going, I'm worried about this show. I'm worried about this thing that I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. And then I say, and in an hour and a half, it'll be over. So it can't possibly matter. And I have taken to saying that to myself just because if I am nervous about something, the good news is that it'll be over in just a couple of minutes. So.
Oh yeah. It like truly at any moment, you know, like we have been anxious about things, worried about things, nervous about things like numerous times in our past. But if I asked you, can you tell me at this time 2 weeks ago, what was your most concerning worry? Like, you probably can't tell me now. And even if you could go back and be like, oh, yeah, I was worried I wouldn't get that email that came in the next day or that I wasn't going to make it to the gate on time. And I did or I didn't.
That's great. The thing is even if I looked at my calendar to 2 weeks ago at this time, I couldn't tell you what I was worried about. And in any case, it is over. What my friend Oscar says this all the time. He says, I have survived 100% of my bad days.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Ever,
oh,
the worst thing that ever happened to me, I survived it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. This one, I don't know why I thought of it now because it's not 100%. On topic, but I do want to share my friend Ben Seidman, a comedy magician who's a wonderful performer. He shared with me, and I'll try to get to you. I don't remember. I feel like he's a friend's quote that his name starts with two B's. Like, you know, like first and last name both start with B, like it's Brian something, but
Brian Baldinger?
Yeah, like Brian Baldinger, but definitely
but not Brian Baldinger. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's for sure. I know I can guarantee it's not him. But this line is, I feel like it's like Brad Barton. That's what I want to say. I'm going with Brad Barton. And I'm even searching. Yes, I got it right. Okay, Brad Barton,
right.
100%. He says, in certain situations, there's something about that guy that I just don't like about myself.
Oh my God. That's great. That is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
most
Ben
of the people
shared that
I
with
dislike.
Me. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's something. He shared that with me. I said I loved it. He shared with Brad that I loved it. Brad, we know of each other, but we don't know each other. And Brad said to Ben, oh, Mike Kaplan, there's something about that guy that I love about myself. And this also connects to, you must know, Jacqueline Novak and or Chris Laker, the comedians.
Sure, sure.
We were in Edinburgh together in 2018, and they shared with me then that whenever they're, you know, talking smack about anybody else, they always add, just like me. At the end of it, they're like, that guy's a real piece of work, just like me.
That's great. Speaking of family dialect, family.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that is usually the problem, especially if you're gossiping. That's one of the big things about gossip is it's the thing that bugs you about yourself. And
absolutely,
there can be strictly bad guys, you know, that you don't like something about them that you have nothing in common with.
Yes, I do have a joke where I say, once I've learned about projection, and if I think somebody's an asshole, like maybe is it possible that, okay. So I'm going to tell you another quote first and then my take. So there's Elmore Leonard, you know, who the writer
007. James Bond?
I don't think he did.
Oh,
that
no,
was
he wrote
I think a guy named
spy novels.
Broccoli. Yeah, Elmore Leonard definitely wrote like noir stuff. He wrote, among other things, the character that became the show Justified. You know the show Justified?
Yes.
With Timothy Oliphant and Walton Goggins. Fantastic show. So I saw this happen on the show. The main character said it, but I think Elmore Leonard wrote it first. It's something like this. If you meet an asshole in the morning, you met one asshole. If you meet assholes all day, you're the asshole.
Oh, right. That is like there's a... That is a stock line in stand-up comedy about if you didn't laugh, you are the one.
I do see that. That is a structure. Yeah, I've many comedians. Here's my take on this. Like every group of comedians, like there's some comedian who has a joke about how if you don't know the person in your group that is this person, then you're that person. And if you don't know that person, then you're the comedian. You're that person. my spin is, like if I think it's important for me to think like if I think somebody's a jerk, is it that they have done something objectively that I am, you know, responding to in a measured way? Or am I bringing some of my own jerkiness to it? The old vaccine that included part of the disease, it's important to like sometimes part of the disease, like you can be a little bit of an asshole to an asshole, you know, like
this I'm is not, making me so uncomfortable. I can't even sit still. I'm just like, I just have to hold my head and kind of
well,
sit
here
back
it comes. I'm like, yeah, okay. So it's important for me if I'm like that. I think that person's an asshole. Is it that I'm the asshole? And then here's the joke. I found myself at the airport one day and I was like, oh, there's a pilot over there. And I was like, wait, am I the pilot? So sometimes, it's not necessarily that everything, but if you see just one, maybe you saw one. But if whatever you see all over the place is coming from within yourself.
Right, because you are the common denominator, my friend.
That's 100%.
Yes, it always comes back to math. What? No. Okay, you got another one?
Have you heard of the
conversations that come from each of these quotes as well. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll say a thing that I've been doing on my Substack newsletter once a week this year is taking a joke that I love and then extrapolating the profundities that maybe weren't intended by it, but where it brings me, the things that I bring to it, which sometimes then brings me to these other quotes or like life lessons or Zen koans or what have you. So here's from, but now I like getting right into, I have a bunch of quotes from, I don't know if it's pronounced Hafiz or Hafez, H-A-F-I-Z or H-A-F-E-Z. It's a Sufi mystic poet. Here's one from the poem I heard God laughing. Oh, this is from the title of the book. I heard God laughing, Poems of Hope and Joy. It's a start seeing everything as God, but keep it a secret. I like that one.
That actually is very protective. Well played. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Here's one that when all your desires are distilled, you will cast just two votes to love more and be happy.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And let's see. Oh, yeah. There's it's all just a big love contest and I never lose. And still, after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love wow. like that. It lights the whole sky.
That's pretty cool.
Check out this person. They're just like so beautiful. I feel like they are the thing that my understanding of Zen koan is supposed to do. Like, you know, we've heard a bunch of them so many times. And then when you've heard them too many times, it becomes kind of like a joke that you already know and the surprise can't happen. Like when I was a kid and learned, why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? It was basically a call and response. It wasn't like the misdirection, like nothing else was present in it. I was just like, I know that one. That's how it goes.
Right.
Like I know that game. Like I had a friend when we got the game Clue when we were like six, I was like, let's play. And he's like, I already played yesterday. So I know who did it. Like that's what that's like. I was like,
right,
okay.
Right. You're not actually right. Because the thing is you, and with all of this kind of thing with poetry in general, or with inspirational quotes, you get something different out of it every time you read it. If you can read it differently. Right.
Yes.
Hearing it differently. Yeah.
If you meet it where you are, like, and so that's easy when it's a thing you haven't heard at all. Like hearing a profound thing. If you hear a profound thing as a kid, you're like, yeah, whatever that thing. But then later you're like, oh my God, these love songs, they really know what they're talking about. Like that's
right. It's like lyrics, you know, it's like once you, if you hear, like you're singing along, but if
yes.
you hear the lyrics, when you hear the lyrics for the first time, there's just so much. Language is great.
It really is. Yeah, because there are things that are here. Oh, I think this is another like interesting dichotomy of what comedy can do and what any of these things can do. Like what you're saying, building on that, like there are some things that are within us that are true that we know, but somebody hasn't expressed it in a way yet that really captures it. And a comedian can do it, you know, a philosopher can do it. And you're like, yes, that's what was going on inside me this whole time. And you said it perfectly. And then sometimes a person will say something, you're like, I didn't know that one. And that's like, now I do. Now it's
inside me. Now it's inside me. It's sometimes it manifests. It's what I think people really love about music. And it's like one of the jokes that I can't seem to make work right now is just about how the way lyrics have changed over the last 60 years of rock and roll. Like at first it was just sort of this celebration of just sort of the beat and love and dating. And then it got into this creepy, it turns out I'm in love with a child. Let me trick her into touching my bits. The 70s and 80s were very weird. And then, but I will say this, at the end of the 80s and the 90s, the lyrics changed and they're just so sharp and so really like some of the biggest laughs that I've gotten in life are lyrics where I've looked up. I was like, what did Janelle Monáe say? And she said something about being so mad. She's like, get off my areola. You're like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And because it's very specific and it's also shocking enough to make you go, oh, you are up in her face. Get off of her. Get away from her.
That's I think that's an incredible lyric and an astute analysis. And I feel like there's that in comedy also, you know, go back to vaudeville, like, you know, go back to like Henny Youngman saying like, take my wife, please. Like, and that's like the corny, like, and everyone doing like, oh yeah. Like who knows what their actual real life relationship is like. But then, you know, you come to the modern era and, you know, Marin says something and you're like, well, that's definitely, you know, and there's actual comedians out there that are like, I believe that you legitimately hate your wife. Like, you definitely, like, no question, like, you're an unhappy man.
Hey, I'm going to turn the mic all the way on. How about that?
You're back again. Yeah,
I'm back again. I don't know. So I have watched stand-up comics where I have genuinely thought to myself, you are having a really hard time in your relationship, and I don't know how it's going to work out. But I saw the same night, I saw Eliza Schlesinger and Bill Burr. Bill Burr was on television doing panel. Eliza Schlesinger, it was a joke. She was on late night doing a set. Two different late night sets. He was doing his as panel. They were both complaining about their partners. And in both cases, I was like, oh, you got to let those people go. You're either too mean to them or they're too mean to you. And I believe they're both still married. So maybe they were just going through a hard time. But I don't think you can hide it in stand-up comedy where you're at.
Yeah, that Bill Burr is a great example of someone who, you know, if you look at his work over the years, it does seem like he has grown as a human being. He has become mentally healthier.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. And so I wonder with him, I really, you know, he and I, we've met, but like,
right.
He
couldn't pick me out of a lineup. Yeah.
But so I truly don't know. Like, I hope and believe, you know, that, you know, at his best, he is, you know, he seems like a loving father and, you know, and he loves his wife, and that he, you know, maybe throughout the years, like, it's not just that his audience has come to expect it or that he's becoming less of like the way that his family of origin was, but there's still, and that's what's coming out in the comedy, you know, the way that when Mike DiStefano, who I did Last Comic Standing with, who died in 2011, like, he was filthy and like raunch, like just like on stage, like said, you know, things that I wouldn't recommend my mother or grandmother listen to. Right. But hilarious and raw and like, and meaningful and sometimes just jokes, but the rest of the time he was like a sweetie. A practicing Buddhist, like a chill guy who meditated. And I remember somebody asking him once, or him saying like, well, how do you like square those? Like, why are you saying that hour's worth of, you know, quote unquote, awful things? And he's like, so that I can be cool the other 23 hours a day. Like, he's like, It's getting it, you know, like excising it, like, you know, I got to get this. And I don't know if that's like psychologically sound, because I've heard that those rooms where you can go to like, you know, beat up computer screens and TV monitors, like, and they're like, get your anger out. That actually can, you know, perpetuate the patterns of be like, well, that's what I do when I'm angry is I yell and do things. But like, so it's there's a delicate balance. Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
there's no, it's right. Fight Club may or may not provide what you think it's happening, but there's a reason why all of those guys that are boxers or, you know, like who hit people for a living, sometimes hit people when they're not at work. It's, weird. Yeah. But
yeah,
it is cool watching somebody grow up, and stand-up comedy is a very much, we can see it in real time, you know, like the kind and you know, what's even more so is improv. I don't know if you've ever seen good improv.
I had not
for a long time, but when at its best, improv, you never feel unsafe. You don't think that whatever is going to come up is going to be either horrifying or terrifying or super, super mean, right? It's they've sort of gotten over the hump of being able to know how to interact with humanity. It's nice.
Yeah. I think probably the, you know, the most masterful comedians can also put an audience at ease in that way as well.
Right. Right, right. Where you feel safe in the hands of somebody you're watching for an hour. That's amazing. Right?
Oh yeah. There's because you brought up music, I was leafing through my files. Put into the files on May 24th, 2022 from inspiringquotes.com. This is a Miles Davis quote. If you hit a wrong note, it's the next note that you play that determines if it's good or bad.
Wow.
About music. That's about life. That's like, do you know the story about the Chinese farmer from perhaps Buddhism or some other spiritual, like, and now probably self-help world? I'll give you a brief rundown, or
please
the listeners. I'll update us. The way that I heard it is, a Chinese farmer had a horse and the horse ran away, and a very rudimentary telling. And a neighbor was like, bad luck, your horse ran away. And the farmer goes, maybe yes, maybe no. And then the next day, the horse returns with a wild horse friend or two. And it's like, wow, you got more horses now. That's good news. Maybe yes, maybe no. His son tries to tame one of the horses and gets thrown and breaks his leg. He's like, ooh, broken leg, bad news. He's like, maybe yes, maybe no. The next day, the army comes to town and drafts in every able-bodied young man, but the broken leg prevents him from getting drafted. Ooh, great news, maybe yes, maybe no. And like, literally, I have things like that in my life that I can trace. And
yes.
So I always try to use that as an experience of like, if something happens that doesn't, you know, a sliding doors moment, I don't make the train, I'm like, oh, maybe something great will happen to me because maybe, you know, I turned down a different street than I normally would have the other day. And I came across a guy playing beautiful cello music on the street that I never would have seen. And I got, you know, an hour of enjoyment when I listened to his album later. And if something bad happens, you're like, okay, well, like, this is a really basic one in my life. 10 years ago, I was on America's Got Talent, and I advanced like two times. I got to do three rounds, including live at Radio City Music Hall. And I did not advance from that one. And afterwards, I was like, oh, what if I had not, if I had done these other jokes instead of those jokes? I was
always
like, I thought those jokes might have been the better jokes to do. And then I realized 1 year later, the following year, I met Rini, the aforementioned love of my life, partner forever. And like, truly, if I had won America's Got Talent or even advanced even further, perhaps I would have been booked on the tour that they do, or just more bookings. And the night that I met Rini, on June 27th, 2016, I might not have been in the same place at the same time. And my life from that point on would have been completely different. I wouldn't know half of the quotes that I know now.
Right, right. Because now you got Rini quotes.
Oh,
you got. Speaking of which, let me just tell people again, because we're starting to push the hour, of course.
Oh, sure.
It has been the fastest hour, because it's the Dork Forest. Mike Kaplan, we're talking to him again, MYQKAPLAN. He's got a .com. He's an at Mike Kaplan. He has a new album and a new special coming out in November and December. On October 18th, he's going to be in Delaware at the Arden Guildhall,
yeah.
And go to MikeKaplan.com and see if he's going to be anywhere near you if you don't live in Delaware. But if you live in Delaware, just think about it. You could go watch him October 18th.
It's true.
It's true. Do you want to leave me with a couple of your faves?
Absolutely. There's a poet named Robert Haas. I think I've never heard his name pronounced, but I've seen it. H-A-S-S. And this is one of my faves is repetition makes us feel secure. Variation makes us feel free.
Ooh, that is nice.
So that's a great one. I know what the last one is going to be, because it'll kind of meta tie everything together. But I'm going to get you some Thich Nhat Hanh. You know Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist teacher?
I do know. I have friends who keep quoting him. Yes.
wonderful. So let me try. So one of his is happiness. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So that one, that's a pretty great one. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And here we go. This is a one that I send to myself every month. This list of quotes. Okay. Thich Nhat Hanh, it is not impermanence that makes us suffer. What makes us suffer is wanting things to be permanent when they are not. Adyashanti says, the biggest embrace you'll ever make is the full, absolute, and complete embrace of your humanity exactly as it is.
Wow.
Thich Nhat Hanh also says, happiness is available. Please help yourself to it. Huang Po says, here it is, right now. Start thinking about it and you miss it. Kazuo Ishiguro says, there was another life that I might have had, but I am having this one. Ajahn Chah says, if you let go a little, you will have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you will have a lot of peace. Let's see. This is Ram Dass. I would like my life to be a statement of love and compassion, and where it isn't, that's where my work lies.
Okay.
Second to let penultimate one, Thich Nhat Hanh again. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth in the present moment to appreciate the peace and beauty that are available now.
Hang on a second. Can I tell you before you do your ultimate?
I didn't. Ultimate coming soon.
Ultimate coming soon.
Yeah.
I read a romance novel many years ago.
As is
and
your
the
want.
Quote, yeah. As is my want. And the line, I don't know the name of the author. I don't even remember the name of the book. Wait, I think it was Lisa Kleppas. Anyway, the couple, one of them says to the other one, the perfect man is probably right around the corner from you. And she said, well, let's quickly get married in case he shows up. And because she likes him so much, right? And I'm paraphrasing because I know it's better put than that, but it was such a beautiful sentiment of living in this moment and not waiting for the perfect person, right? I think that was great. Anyway, go
I
ultimate.
Love it. Okay, and I just remembered two others. So three, two,
let's
one.
Here
we go. Niels Bohr said, let me see, I can get the exact one, but Bohr quote, profound. Okay, it's gonna have the word profound right in it. Here we go. The opposite of a correct statement is a false statement, but the opposite of a profound truth may well be another profound truth. A great truth is a truth whose opposite is also a great truth.
Wow, that's great.
And similar, along the same lines of that, in the Talmud, there is this rabbi who's famous for saying, I have two pieces of paper, one in each pocket. One says, this world was created for you. And the other says, you are nothing but ash and dust. So those are like two great truths that are opposite.
Yeah.
But whichever one you need at a moment, you know, think about that one. And finally, the final quote, I learned it from Joseph Goldstein, he's a Buddhist teacher. He was quoting Nanananda, who spoke of rallying the concepts for the higher purpose of developing wisdom, whereby concepts themselves are transcended. Here's the quote that Nanananda was sharing, I think from, oh no, that was that. That wasn't even it. This is it. Okay. Ryokan, this is from Joseph Goldstein sharing Ryokan's quote. He says, even if you've read through countless books, you're better off sticking to a single phrase. If anyone asks which one, tell them, know your own mind just as it is.
All right.
So
wow,
if you only remember one quote, that's...
Yes. That is...
Yeah, rewind, listen to it again as you need to.
Right, that one you're gonna want to write that down and maybe meditate on that for a week.
Yeah, you don't even need countless books though, so no one's trying to sell you anything. Yeah,
exactly. Nobody's trying to sell you nothing. You guys, you can watch Mike Kaplan do stand-up comedy any number of places. You can listen to all of his albums. I think he has a dozen out. And if you go to MikeKaplan.com, you will find out where he's performing in addition to Delaware. on October 18th. Thank you so much for doing the show, Mike.
Thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure, as always.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?